Avenue. This is TheFieldPod.com coming to you from our studios high atop Tbilisi's lovely Rustaveli Avenue. Today is Thursday, the 24th of January, 2013. On this day in 41, Caligula is assassinated. In 1125, David Machiavelli, or David the Builder, died. 1848, a millwright named James Marshall discovers gold along the banks of Sutter's Creek near Sacramento, starting the California Gold Rush. 1862, Bucharest is proclaimed the capital of Romania. 1916, the Supreme Court of the United States declares federal income tax constitutional. In 1935, the first canned beer goes on sale.
And I heard it's really hip again these days with microbreweries to not sell bottled beer, but beer in cans.
Really?
Yeah, it's the new big thing, hipster.
What do you know?
Thing,
yeah. What do you know? In 1967, Aretha Franklin, who has for 6 years been dolloping out spoonfuls of mayonnaise with Columbia Records, switches to Atlantic and records many of her top hits at a famous recording session in Alabama. 1996, Polish Premier Józef Olszewski resigns amid charges that he spied for Moscow. 1984, the first Apple Macintosh goes on sale. 10 years ago today, 2003, the United States Department of Homeland Security officially begins operation.
We're all safe for now.
Yeah, exactly. Birthdays are 1949, John Belushi, 1951, Yakov Smirnov, and 1961, Natasha Kinski. We are Cameron Christensen, currently in absentia, Matthias Hooter, and me, Mark Mullen. Nothing we say can be connected with any of our employers, past, present, and future, except Cameron, when she gets here. She's speaking on behalf of her current employer, everything she says, especially about Abkhazia. We have to make an apology today. We made a mistake last week. Although most of our listeners think of us as knowing everything there is to know about Georgia and any tiny micro issue we don't know about, Will Dunbar will write in and on the forum and correct us at length, annoyingly. At the same time, like the catty malicious people everywhere, our listeners love it when we make fun of stuff. Last week we made fun of Ratingi, suggesting that it is some unknown, unimportant publication. What we found out is that it is a highly circulating Georgian language weekly owned by Kvitis Palitra Holding. So this actually illustrates how little we know about Georgian media. Even our chief media fetishist, Matthias, sitting across from me. So sorry for the flippancy motivated by ignorance. It will not happen again, ever.
Really? I'm pretty sure it's going to happen again.
No, it's not going to happen again. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, you know, it's January. We've got to say it's never going to happen again. Thanks again for those posting on our forum. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tbilpod.com. Send us an email at tbilpod@gmail.com. My Georgian journal and Kvitis Palitra column this week is about dog poop. Really. Check it out. I mean, the column. Defense Minister Iraklia Alasania has stepped down from his concurrent, highly important post of First Deputy Prime Minister.
Or he was stepped down, maybe.
Yeah, he was stepped down on. It's not clear yet who will replace Alasania, who will stay in his defense ministry post. Supposedly on Monday, Prime Minister Bidzina Ivanishvili signed a decree ordering Alasania's demotion, although Rustavioti says that it was posted on Wednesday and the Monday date was put on later. Tuesday, Alasania spoke on public TV's political talk show Accents with Ekekwesi Tate, but not mention anything about his demotion, which only became public the following day. Later, Alasania said that there was no misunderstanding between him and BI and that the reason for the decision was to allow him to focus on defense issues. Alasania said in a statement, quote, PM decided that the defense sphere is so important that I should be relinquished of other additional duties. I welcome this and accept it, end quote. BI commented that Alasania made a mistake when he began discussing the issues of potential presidential candidates within his party, our Georgia Free Democrats Party. BI said, quote, this information was later spread by Alasania's party and it was misinterpreted in the regions. but he added that nothing has changed with his relationship with Alassania. Alassania said that his talk with BI, quote, was a healthy dialogue between the leader and his team. It would be very bad if we did not have such open conversations, end quote. He also said that he is in favor of, quote, a strong presidential republic with strong parliamentary supervision. Other parties in the coalition do not agree on this, including the Republican Party and BI's Georgian Dream Democratic Georgia Party.
Well, I think the story seems to be that, or according to Ivanishvili, who gave an interview in Davos, where he is, that in Alassania's party there was a discussion, allegedly, about Alassania becoming a presidential candidate. And the story is that in some regions, public officials were told, you know, don't join the Georgian Dream Party because, you know, that's not the future. The future is the Free Democrats because Alassania is going to be the next president. And so, you know, think twice which party you join now. It's an investment in the future. And apparently Bizina got all upset that there was this discussion. And last week there was also a discussion.
It was evidently like some sort of... There was a friend of Bizina's who was in one of the discussions, and nobody knew that he was a friend of Bizina's, is the allegation.
But also in his public TV interview, Alassania was made some critical remarks about Bizina, and like that he was kind of trying to dominate the debate about the presidential candidate somehow, and it doesn't really tolerate too much discussion.
Yes, and all of this does not really speak very well. I mean, just the way that it was handled was so clumsy and inept, and the communication and, you know, and whatever else. On the other hand, you know, why is Alassania talking about this? I mean, about the, you know, I believe in a strong presidential system. You know, first of all, the Republicans have been the most adamant about the parliamentary system forever, and Usupashvili runs parliament, and, you know, it's just, I don't know, like, it seems politically unwise considering that, you know, the worst kept secret in Georgia is Alassania's presidential ambitions. I mean, for him to talk about how the president should become more powerful, I mean, I don't know what he really gets out of it. It's not like it's going to happen.
No.
You know, so why?
But there was also a discussion in the coalition in the past week that maybe we should get rid of the directly elected president. Maybe the parliament should elect the head of state. So there has been like some kind of debate in that direction. And before last year, Bizina always said that Vakhtang Khmalatse would be his preferred candidate for president. So, I mean, I think there's no real strategy or no real, agreed candidate in the obviously in the coalition.
You know, be careful what you wish for if you want better party discipline. You know, we had it with the National Movement, and there was essentially no policy discussion about anything. All decisions were made behind closed doors. If there was ever any public breach, you know, that was it. You're out in the cold, and you know.
Yeah, but now it seems that there's really like three kind of fractions. There's the Free Democrats, there's the Republicans, and the Bizina's people and the Georgian Dream. And you see, like, there's kind of a lot of discussion and different positions in the government and in the parliament.
Which is great.
Good.
At winter session of the Council of Europe Parliamentary Assembly in Strasbourg, Misha declared that the problems facing Georgian-Russian relations could be easily resolved if Moscow agreed to give up its territorial claims. Yeah, okay. Misha said, quote, I could be the last Georgian leader who speaks the Russian language well. I can quote Pushkin, Brodsky, and other great Russian poets. I have a much better command of the Russian language than the current Georgian premier. Great. Thanks, Misha. That's, you know, the spirit of
conciliation. You might have a point there.
You know, which, could be. The representatives of the parliamentary majority, Eke Basselia and Irakli Chikovani, attending the assembly in Strasbourg, called the president's speech comical. Comical, maybe accurate, but,
Was also the scene where a Russian MP asked Misha about Georgia's human rights violations, and Misha said, when are you going to start, or when did you start respecting human rights, and, you know, like, we're not going to come to you for advice, and so on.
Misha and the Russians. Yesterday, Pace discussed the report on parliamentary consequences of the war between Russia and Georgia in 2008. Following the discussion, Pace adopted a resolution. That's the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, by the way. Adopted a resolution requesting the involved parties to vigorously address security issues in the framework of the first working group of the Geneva International Discussions. Vigorously. Prior to the vote, there was a debate on the Russian-Georgian War, during which the majority of members of the Parliamentary Assembly expressed support for the territorial integrity of Georgia. There was also a lot of discussion about, you know, whether they were going to use the word, what do you call it?
The occupied
word. Occupy, yeah.
But also apparently in the Georgian delegation.
Yeah, within the Georgian delegation, with, you know, the thing being split fairly fairly predictably.
And in the past, that has never been an issue. I mean, in the past, the line was always that Georgia insists that the territories have to be referred to as the occupied territories.
Exactly. On Monday, Chief Prosecutor Archil Belashvili said on Rustaviotti that the prosecutor's office has information that the former government did things far more horrible than the brooms and prison scandal and the blackmailing of sexual minorities. Although he said he doesn't have video footage to prove it now, quote, the previous government's sick fantasy had no limits, end quote. Kvilashvili does not believe the prosecutor's office should apologize for the release of the video footage showing the sex lives of sexual minorities. Quote, should anybody apologize for revealing this sickness? End quote. Yeah, that's too bad, because he's wrong. You know, they shouldn't have released it, and he should apologize. The complicated thing was, it's not really clear what he's talking about. When he's talking about the sickness, does he mean the fact that the national movement was, you know, using this against, you know, gay guys, or, you know, with hidden cameras and all of that stuff, that they had this footage in the first place, or that he was referring to homosexuality as a sickness?
Was it an ambiguous statement?
It seemed to me to be, yeah. You know, from what I gather, ambiguous. So, I don't know. That's not so good. So, somebody ought to talk to Kvilashvili and get him to, you know, align his thinking with the modern world. On Saturday, the man that released the infamous prison torture footage, Vladimir Bedukadze, was released from court on a whopping 2,000 lari bail. He has to keep his testimony secret and is required to appear in court should the investigative authorities deem it necessary. The judge's decision was greeted with applause. On Monday, Bedukadze was egged as he was leaving the Channel 1 building where he and his lawyer participated in Datopaychadze's TV show.
I heard that apparently he said he would also be interested in entering politics.
Oh,
I'm not
boy.
Sure if you've heard that.
I have not heard that. Interesting. Last week, Member of Parliament Zura Japaridze said that the experti Gia Khukhashvili, who is a close friend of BI's, quote, sits in the Pixel building on Chachavadze Avenue, end quote, where businessmen come to see him. The implication is that Japaridze is putting pressure on business representatives. BI responded to the allegations against Khukhashvili, saying that he has asked Khukhashvili to sort out why profit from railway cargo transit through Georgia goes to the partnership fund instead of to the state.
It's quite easy, because the partnership fund, which is this kind of strange investment vehicle of the Georgian government, owns the Georgian railways. It's not directly owned by the government, but by this partnership fund. And the idea is that they use the dividends and the revenue from different state-owned companies to invest in public-private partnership projects, agriculture, mostly hydropower, and so on.
I don't see why that's so strange. I mean, that's not strange.
It's not strange. I think Bizina is also actually the chair of the board of the partnership fund as prime minister.
So why do we need Khukhashvili, you know, sitting there asking people, having them come by the picture?
No, like in the weeks and months after the elections, Khukhashvili has been kind of the go-to guy, apparently, or wanted to become the go-to guy of the new government.
You've got to be careful of sure go-to guys, because sometimes those go-to guys are sort of self-appointed.
Yeah.
You know? Like some would say that Zaza Targamadze, Givi Targamadze's, you know, brother, sort of appointed himself as the go-to guy for
the problem solver and for everything.
Well, yeah. for building issues and things like that. And Tbilisi, that it's like, well, you know, my brother Givi, you know, so you want anything, talk to me, and you know, whatever. So I, you know, somebody
it's especially problematic if there are kind of consultancy fees involved.
Right. Well, even if there's not, I mean, what I mean is, like, you know, maybe. Who knows how authorized this is? Maybe it's not particularly authorized, and he's just, you know, saying, like, I'd be interested for you to tell me a bunch of stuff, and, you know, having people show up there.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, Nicolas Vashakidze resigned from the post of deputy foreign minister, saying he objected to the course and style of the new government's foreign policy. Foreign Minister Maya Panchakidze responded, saying that there is no change in Georgia's foreign policy trajectory. The government is still committed to Euro-Atlantic integration. BI commented publicly on Vashakidze's resignation, affirming that he wasn't dismissed and left of his own volition. However, BI indicated that Vashakidze might well have felt BI's attitude towards him. He met with Vashakidze twice when he was preparing for his visit to Armenia and asked him about the Abkhaz Railway, which BI assumed would come up at the meeting 2 days later. Vashakidze told BI that he is not ready to discuss this. He was going to leave for Armenia and I was going to leave for Armenia in 2 days. And when I asked when he would be ready, he said after a week. I thought that he was joking. He saw in my reaction that it was a frivolous answer. End quote. I don't know Vashakidze well, but he seems like a pretty competent guy. I find that. Yeah.
And he's been around since I think 96 or something like that. He is one of the very few survivors of both Shevardnadze and Saakashvili governments.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you must have something going for you to do that.
Yeah, I don't know about this. This allegation.
If it's a worrying sign or not.
Well, I mean, I think he really just did leave because he feels like that the direction is changing and that's not such a good thing. Following up on last week's story about Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri and UNM Secretary General Vanavedevashvili's debate over the budget. Khaduri refused to participate on Rustavioti's program Pozitsiya and instead asked the public broadcaster to have a TV debate between him and Vano in a special extended format with the participation of TV presenters from all channels. However, Vano refused the minister's proposal.
Well, this is to remind our listeners. Last week, Vano gave an interview saying that there's a budget crisis looming and that Georgia will not have enough money very soon, and that it's the fault of the new government.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know whether Vano's in a position to turn this down. The public broadcaster is a reasonable station, and
Did the finance minister turn down Rustavi 2?
Well, maybe he thinks.
I think Rustavi 2 has pretty high ratings at the moment.
It has high ratings because it's very critical of the government.
Right, it kind of has both sides now. I mean, yes, it's still UNM leaning, but now you see kind of more of the.
I mean, it's better now, but yeah. I think that the landscape has shifted out from under it. I mean, up until the election, it worked for UNM, and everybody knows that.
It still does.
But I mean, I think that because. It has good ratings because, like, what you want to watch is people
criticizing
the government. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I think that it would have been reasonable to go on the public broadcaster. I'm surprised that Vano said no. Last Thursday, Misha said he would initiate three bills in Parliament. First, a tax amnesty for all tax arrears and the decriminalization of economic offenses in order to attract investment. Later, Justice Minister Teodosi Lukiani commented on the president's initiative, saying that, quote, any president who wishes to improve the legislative base of the country should act like this. It's only surprising that the initiative appears now, but better late than never, end quote. Tulukiani also added that the initiative should be studied and the prosecutor's office is working on this. The other two bills are tightening the privacy protection laws, which would require law enforcement agencies to immediately destroy material they gather about private individuals' lives. And finally, social benefits and the doubling of pensions for military personnel and for the families of fallen soldiers. Asked during the press conference about the allegations of the prosecutor's office that gay honey trap was practiced when his government was in power, Saakashvili responded, quote, can you recall at least one case of making public videos containing private lives of individuals? We were in government for more than 8 years. And can you recall at least one such case? You tell me at least one case, and in that case, I will accept this allegation, end quote, Saakashvili said.
Well, there were a bunch of...
Yeah, there were a lot.
I can recall.
There were a lot. Evidently, the journalist just sort of went, and didn't really...
Didn't really prepare and say anything. But that's an important issue. I think the decriminalization of maybe future offenses, maybe not past economic offenses, because right now, if you're a CEO of a company and the company is found to have a significant tax debt, you can face criminal charges, even though, you know, it might have been a mistake or.
I mean, it's a very important step forward. It just is, I have to say, a little maddening to have Misha and everybody like start to make these changes now. You know, I mean, there's a lot of those. It's sort of like, you know, the national movement's newfound enthusiasm for local government reform. You know, I mean, it would have been so easy for them to, you know, shoot that through their parliament, you know, with their constitutional majority to decentralize power. Yeah. And that didn't seem like such an exciting prospect up until fairly recently.
It was also quite convenient for the previous government to use these kind of threats and like put, you know, some CEO into jail for a couple of days and see if he can, you know.
Yeah,
like,
which I mean, which would happen all the time. Yeah. I mean, and so, you know, it would happen quite often that, you know, that. People would be told, okay, you're going to sell your business and here's the price. Or, you know, you're going to give us your business.
Right.
You know, that's bad. So, Shota Khizanashvili returned to the post of deputy mayor of Tbilisi. Khizanashvili's authority was suspended because of his arrest for abuse of power, hampering the political activities of political parties, and illegal monitoring of telephone conversations. Last Thursday, he was released from custody on a 35,000 lari bail. After Gurum Chalagashvili, the chairman of the National Regulatory Commission of Energy and Water Supply, was released on a 3,000 lari bail, the Kutaisi City Court decided to allow him to stay at his post until the end of the investigation. Chalagashvili was summoned in for questioning in regards to his order to shut down the power supply at a restaurant in a village near Skaltuba for no apparent reason. We tried to figure out what was the deal with the restaurant and why the thing was shut off. We think he just sort of got annoyed and was sort of flexing a little bit. I don't know. It seemed like a very weird thing to do.
I haven't heard about this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. He just said, you know, shut off the electricity supply, and that was it. What his excuse was, well, I smelled something burning, and so I shut off electricity to the entire district, you know.
But it's nice that the head of the regulatory commission takes care of these issues.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you know, after, you know.
Hardworking man.
In his cups, you know. So. Today, the newspaper Alia published an interview with former security minister Valery Khaburdzhanian in response to the question whether he's going back into politics and whether he has had proposals from friends currently in the government. Khaburdzhanian answers that he's already back in politics. Quote, I'm already back in politics because I broke the silence and I'm giving an interview to Alia. And what a way to break silence. And perhaps I will suggest many things to many people. End quote. Currently, he says he is vice president of a large financial corporation. I wish we knew which corporation that is, but we don't.
When was he security minister?
He was security minister immediately before the resignation of Shevardnadze for several months. I don't know, maybe a year or so. And the deal with him was that supposedly when Misha had his first meeting with Putin, a meeting at which he made Putin wait for a long time. He's the guy. That Misha was like in a swimming pool and made Putin wait for a while, and that Putin was ticked off, and Putin basically said, okay, listen, do whatever you want, just keep Khaburdzhania there. The understanding being that Khaburdzhania was a KGBishniki, and, you know, that he was going to be sort of the Kremlin's little sort of whatever. And Misha answered equivocally and then came back and immediately fired Khaburdzhania, which ticked off the Kremlin. So, you know, who knows? Special thanks to TabilPod's own Santa Monica desk officer for the following information. Last Wednesday, Aslan Usoyan, the thief-in-law also known as Dead Hassan, was shot in the neck by a sniper as he left his favorite restaurant in Moscow. Dead Hassan was rushed to the hospital, but he soon died from his wounds. An ethnic Kurd born in Georgia in 1937 was a leader of a criminal gang in Russia. One unlikely theory links Hassan's assassination to the triple assassination of Kurdish separatists in Paris last week, since Hassan was rumored to be one of the suppliers of weapons to Kurdish separatist movements in Turkey. More likely theory, however, is that Hassan was killed by criminals loyal to Tariel Oniani, Georgian gangster and Hassan's main rival for years, who's currently behind bars.
Do you know if he's in prison in Russia or in Georgia?
In Russia, as far as I know, I think. Russian authorities are concerned that this could spark revenge killings. Russian media reported that the Tbilisi International Airport refused to accept Hassan's body. His widow, daughter, and relatives wanted to bury him at Kukia Cemetery in Tbilisi next to his parents. Tbilisi International Airport did not confirm or deny this report.
The New York Times also had a story about Hassan's actual burial, which was outside Moscow, somewhere in a suburb, because apparently the Russian government denied them to be buried anywhere in Moscow. They didn't want to have like all the thugs in their SUVs showing up somewhere in central Moscow. So they said you have to do it really somewhere outside in a remote place where nobody cares. And then the security guys from the Russian government who were standing there told journalists, we would recommend you for the sake of your own health not to go too closely to these guys. Like, we, you know, like if something happens to you, like it's not our fault.
Yeah. All right. So lesson to be learned. You know, if you're going to be a, you know, serious mobster in the region, don't be a Kurd from Tbilisi. Families affected by the floods in Kakheti region in August will get supposedly 6,000 to 8,000 lari compensation. The Minister of Regional Development and Infrastructure, Dato Narmania, said, quote, bank accounts are now being opened for all 28,500 affected families. After all accounts are opened, we will start transferring the compensation, end quote. Rustavi Odi reported that the lists are up and many people on the list are receiving as little as 350 lari or even less and are not happy about it.
I read somewhere that Bidzina said that he would personally give some cash to help these people. I'm not.
We'll have to see what, yeah, and whether or not he said that, you know, before or after the election is a, you know, crucial component. Refugee Minister Dato Darakhvelidze said that the government decided to give apartments in Tbilisi and the region to over 300 families who were expelled from the occupied territories for the symbolic price of one lari. According to Russian media sources, Russia's chief sanitary doctor, Gennady Onishenko, who's such a wanker, like, it's just unbelievable, will visit Georgia to solve the issues regarding exporting Georgian wine and mineral waters to the Russian market. Of course, there are no issues. Gennady is the issue, but okay, whatever. Onishenko confirmed he will visit Georgia after meeting with representatives of the Georgian delegation, which is set to visit Moscow on February 4th.
He's the guy who finds all the bacteria in Georgian mineral water.
Yeah, exactly.
And wine,
I'm shocked. Just horrible, horrible. Several Georgian NGOs, including the Unanimity Union, gathered for an anti-Saakashvili protest rally yesterday, which demanded that a date be set for early presidential elections. Approximately 500 protesters attended. Yesterday, they blocked the entrance to the president's residence for about 15 minutes. Misha was not inside at the time.
He was in Strasbourg, I guess.
Abkhaz President Angfab has announced that by March, Abkhazia plans to open up three more checkpoints on the border with Georgia. Minister of Internal Affairs Irakli Kharabashvili presented a new code of ethics for policemen. In addition, he stated that on his order, the Internal Monitoring Service of the Ministry of Internal Affairs has been strengthened to approximately 50 people. If there is a human rights violation of a citizen, they will immediately respond with disciplinary punishment or criminal charges.
So the Ministry of Interior will investigate itself?
Yeah, allegedly. Certainly the old Interior Ministry didn't do a heck of a lot of that, but yeah, we'll have to see. Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri said that the government will pay off the debts of Zviad Gamzakhordia's family. In 2002, the parliament adopted a law on social insurance for Zviad Gamzakhordia's family. The expenses totaling 130,000 lari were put into the 2003 budget, but due to the financial crisis, the government could not fulfill its obligation. Gamzakhordia's wife, well-known wacko, Manana Archvadze appealed to the finance ministry in December 2012 and demanded an allotment of 130,000 lari to the family.
So I think the law says that they would pay the a pension and the utilities and stuff like that. So kind of to, yeah.
Here you go, Manana. Please pipe down.
Well, she's been quiet recently. You
know? Yeah, she hadn't seen around. Yeah, who knows what she's.
No, searching for the body or exhuming,
whatever, near Chechnya, yeah. On Friday, former defense minister Irakli Okrashvili contradicted his former statements when he claimed that Prime Minister Zurajvanya's death, quote, was not a murder. Later, Nino Katagidze, the wife of the late Zurajvanya, said that Okrashvili's statement does not change the family's position, noting that Okrashvili always says things that are in his interest. Nino said that Okrashvili's quick release from prison was unexpected.
So what did the family say? Did they accept the official narrative that it was not a murder?
Well, I don't know. I'm not really sure. I know Zuda's brother had some concerns, but I'm not sure what the sort of official position of the family is. I mean, it's a pretty sensitive matter, so yeah. I don't know, and I know that they're no great fans of Okrashvili. On Tuesday, Justice Minister Ted Tsilukiani opened the presentation for changes to the labor code held at the Radisson Hotel. Tsilukiani made the following statement, quote, "One thing is important here. No employer will be able to dismiss an employee without argument. Also, the verbal labor relations will be written and more detailed. Interim employees' interests will be highly protected. In no case should an employer think that the labor code will be suited just for them," end quote.
That's, I think, we will see what the actual outcome is. But so far, Georgia has really no labor protection. And, yeah, having some improvements there, maybe having less pressure on unions or allowing unions, to organize and exist, all these things would be a positive step, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think job protection is dangerous. I mean, I understand that people are getting fired for, organizing to be in labor unions. But, I think what's more important is job safety and things like that. And a lot of sort of coercive practices about, forcing people to work overtime and those sorts of things.
No pay and stuff.
Whereas job protection can be quite dangerous, I mean, there's the UK is a mess that way. It's just impossible to fire anybody. And it really keeps people out of work because it means that people don't want to hire. And they ought to be careful about that. I mean, I think originally, they were really sort of hiding the labor code and wanted the new version of it. And, there was not a lot of discussion about it. And that has now, I think, since opened up, and hopefully they'll be willing to listen to some people about that. I mean, but yes, the labor code needs to be made much better. And it was really ridiculous before, but, the job protection provisions they should be very, very careful with. On February 16th, Georgian Dream will hold its Congress in Tbilisi. Delegates will arrive from 73 districts in Georgia. MP Dato Saganalidze said, quote, "District conferences will take place in 73 districts. Bureau members are elected, local councils are established, and delegates are elected for the Congress. Congress will be about working and not pump," end quote. Be interesting to see what those elections are like. Anybody hears, we'd be curious to know. According to the hardest working NGO in Georgia, TI Georgia's report, the budget of 2013 is not only significantly less detailed than the program budget of 2012, but provides even less information than the non-program conventional budgets of 2008 and 9. In this budget, there is oftentimes a total disregard for indicators of achievement. TI Georgia says the government must increase the transparency of the budget by explaining, for instance, why the other income article of this budget doesn't include revenue from the National Bank of Georgia, as well as why income from property is decreasing, which together with decreases in other line items results in a reduction of other income by 120 million lari. On Tuesday, the Georgian Patriarch Ilya II was awarded a prize from the Foundation for the Unity of Orthodox Christian Nations, headed by Russia's Patriarch Kirill. Ilya II said that he is sure that Georgia will regain its lost territories. Russia's Patriarch Kirill said in a statement that because of the actions of Ilya II, Georgian society, quote, has not fallen down into the atrocity of civil war and confrontation, end quote. under complicated political circumstances. Yesterday, Ilya II met with President of Russia Vladimir Putin at the presidential palace in Moscow. Russia's Patriarch Kirill was also in attendance. Putin thanked the Georgian Patriarch for his contribution to restoring Georgian-Russian relations. Ilya said, quote, "I want to convey BI's regards to you. He is doing his best to normalize relations with Russia. I think all problems between us will be settled, and we will still be friends," end quote.
Yeah. Did you see any of these pictures in the past few months about Kirill? He was, like, meeting with Putin and with other people, and they had photoshopped his arm because he was wearing this really expensive golden wristwatch that he had gotten from Putin as a present. And so they had taken it off the official photo, but you could still see the reflection on the table where the watch.
Interesting.
And, like, so he had gotten some very fancy gifts from Putin over time, and so the two are quite close.
The Georgian Orthodox Church enjoys, wealth more than their vows of poverty would indicate.
They're also a big company. I mean, they sell bread. They sell oil, a lot of things, and they're tax exempted. So whatever they do, they don't pay VAT. They don't pay income tax, no import tax, all that stuff.
We should start a religion so we don't have to pay VAT.
Yeah.
What do you think?
There was apparently, allegedly, people say that in the days, in the wilder days, they kind of, imported cigarettes and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Made money.
For sure. Oh, I have no doubt. A 2.8 earthquake with an epicenter in Isani Samgori district of Tbilisi was registered just before 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday. No damage or injuries reported. Last Thursday, Gurum Sagaradze, the famous Georgian actor, died at the age of 84. On Tuesday, he was interned at the Didube Pantheon of Public Figures.
They even blocked Rustaveli Avenue for that. There were lots of people coming to the Rustaveli Theater to say their goodbye.
Exactly. If you've spent, any time in Georgia, if you look on Google Images, Gurum Sagaradze, you'll recognize him. He really was very, very famous and a fantastic actor. I'd seen him several times. The National Bank of Georgia issued a license to the Azerbaijani Pasha Bank to operate in the country. According to the strategic plan, the next year or two, the bank aims to have assets of more than $60 million. Pasha Bank Georgia will initially be focused on servicing the corporate sector, but in the future will cover small and medium enterprises. It will be located where HSBC was on Rustaveli by the Marriott.
That spot has been empty for, I think, a year since HSBC left Georgia.
Well, even before HSBC came, it had been empty for a long time. It's a really beautiful building and a beautiful piece of property. Tbilisi City Hall is continuing its domestic business promotion project, which was inaugurated in 2006. According to the project, any company registered in Tbilisi is able to draw cheap credit to launch a new business or develop its existing one. Companies should submit a special application on a project to Tbilisi City Hall to receive financial resources. The documents will be handed over to a partner commercial bank. The maturity period of the loan is 5 years with interest rates of 6%. Parliament's not in session this week. They should be back to work on the 5th of February. If you want up-to-date info on what's going on in Parliament, sign up for TI Georgia's free text messaging service by going to parliament.transparency.ge/subscribe. Geocapital number. This week's geocapital number is 3.2, which is the percentage of GDP that the Georgian public sector spends on education. According to the data from the CIA World Factbook, Georgia ranks 128th out of 163 countries on the list. Spending on education is highest in Timor-Leste, 16.8%, and Cuba, 14%. Lowest in the United Arab Emirates, 1.2%, Monaco, 1.2%, and Equatorial Guinea, 0.6%. Other countries of interest are France at 5.6%, the United States 5.5%, Netherlands 5.3%, and Germany 4.5%. Very active forum this week. Please check it out for attributions of the following.
Yeah, several commentators corrected us, as they should.
As well they should. You know, that's what we're here for. Jerks. Regarding Rusudan Kiriloshvili and the Centerpoint fiasco, and I quote, "Perhaps this deal with Misha's reserve fund was a payback to Centerpoint, because in 2007 and 8, Centerpoint Group and its companies donated nearly 900,000 lari to the national movement in the form of annual donations and election campaign donations. The source being the hardest working NGO in town, Transparency International Georgia." From another listener, quote, "Chinese Chamber of Commerce sources suggest that the Tbilisi Sea development is for 126,000 people, not 126,000 Chinese people."
Well, we could also see a wave of immigration from China.
Yeah, but it's, sure. But, I mean, okay, interesting how this happened, though. That, you know, that, like, they're going to build some special thing for 126,000 Chinese people. That makes sense. Thank you very much for that correction. And from another listener, quote, "Listeners may like to know that the original handwritten bound manuscript of Marjorie Wardrop's Night in the Tiger Skin, translated, has recently been put on display in the new British Embassy, Tbilisi's Inter Sanctum," end quote, with editions of the Royal Asiatic Society from 2001 available on Amazon. How does anybody get into the Inter Sanctum of the British Embassy if you're not some famous author or something like that?
You have to go through like 15 checkpoints of bulletproof glass. And
can you say, "I just want to see the"?
I don't think you can.
You can't do that.
Maybe. Okay. I don't know.
All right. Look, anybody who goes into the Inter Sanctum, can you take a picture and post it on our forum of the book for those of us who are not going to make it into the Inter British Sanctum? This week's Kolga movies are The Untouchables, 2011, and on Monday and Wednesday, Project Nim, also from 2011. All movies begin at 8 p.m. at Dom Kino, across from Rustaveli Metro, and cost 7 lari. A new magazine called Tiflis will be circulating in Russia in February or March. The magazine is about Georgia, its people and culture, and will have its first issue dedicated to the Georgian Patriarch and his Jubilee.
So subscribe now.
Yeah.
Issues will
exactly. Go it's soon. Flying off the shelves. Yeah. It probably will, actually, you know, frighteningly. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tblpod@gmail.com, or post to our increasingly active forum at the website www.tblpod.com. We will finish with from the aforementioned recording session of the 24th of January 1967 at the famous Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama. This is Aretha Franklin with Never Loved a Man.